Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Be future ready with a pension powered by Zurich's award-winning investment performance.
Now, to the death of independent nationalist councillor Patsy Kelly, five separate investigations, including one ongoing, have so far failed to yield a conviction. Patsy Kelly was abducted and murdered near the village of Trillick in County Tyrone in July 1974. His body was dumped in a lake. The Kelly family alleged security force involvement in the killing as significant new evidence emerges 44 years on. Our reporter Barry Lenehan has been investigating. Barry, you told us yesterday of what had happened to Patsy Kelly. But how did the police go about investigating the killing?
Yes, so for 3 weeks, people searched for Patsy Kelly's body. And during this period, police promised Patsy's wife, Teresa, that once they found a body, there'd be enough evidence for a prosecution. Patsy's body eventually floated to the top of the remote Loch Eyes, 50 miles away from where he was abducted. It was fortuitous the body found at all, as it had been weighed down with two 56-pound weights. In spite of the police promise, nobody was ever apprehended for the killing. Loyalist paramilitaries claimed the murder, but neither the police nor nationalists believed them. Instead, the focus on local soldiers from the Ulster Defence Regiment.
But the original police investigation, that had flaws from the very beginning.
As people searched for Patsy Kelly, an anonymous letter was sent to the local civil rights movement. The letter named local UDR soldiers as being involved in killing the nationalist councillor, but the UDR suspects were never arrested nor properly questioned, nor were they fingerprinted. The Kelly family solicitor, Pat Fahey, picks up the story.
And it was from a serving member of the RUC in Oma. It was written on the back of a traffic accident report form. Now, the only people who would have access to that form would be members of the police. So, you know, I think that one can assume with a degree of confidence that it did emanate from a serving police officer. He named who he said it was believed were involved in Patsy's murder, and that they also were involved in other criminal activity, along with other police officers in the Omagh area, but nothing was ever done, really.
And there was an issue with forensics in the original investigation. What can you tell us about that, Barry?
Forensic evidence also pointed to security force involvement, but this pivotal evidence was never followed up on, nor was it presented at the inquest into Patsy Kelly's killing. The Kelly family only learned about this important evidence decades later. Pat Fahey again.
The one thing which stood out as something which cast very, very serious doubt on the genuineness of the investigation was the fact that a footprint was found at the scene of Patsy's abduction. That footprint was sent to the forensic science laboratory. We learned many years later of the existence of that footprint. That footprint was never disclosed to the inquest and was never disclosed to the family. That footprint matched the footprint which would have been made by army issue boots at that time. You know, that was the significance of the footprint. Fingerprints found on the car. Now, in recent times, we've been told about these fingerprints, but again, that was never disclosed to the family, nor was it disclosed to the inquest.
And so the case ran dry for several years, Barry, until a major admission in a local pub. What happened?
A former UDR soldier, David Jordan, admitted repeatedly how he was on patrol and present when Patsy Kelly was murdered. He named the soldiers who were with him and claimed he'd seen the killing. His family and friends have said they believe what he was saying to be true. Police never interviewed him nor followed up on his claims. However, Mr. Jordan died soon after his barroom admission in 1999, leaving the Kelly family with yet more questions.
Prior to him being found dead, he had been knocked down in a hit-and-run accident. There was the suspicion that it was an attempt to kill him, you know, and that happened around the time that that he was making these revelations about what had happened. Jordan was found dead. Then there was a post-mortem. Dr. Curtis, he carried out the post-mortem. He reached the conclusion that Jordan had died either from alcohol or from a heart condition, that he had a pre-existing heart condition. But when we wrote to Mr. Curtis, he said to me he was not alerted to anything suspicious about Jordan's death, that had he been alerted, he would have carried out other tests, in particular a toxicology test. There was the related issue of his niece, who was also his carer in the immediate aftermath of his death, made a statement in which she was asked when she'd last seen him. And she said she'd seen him on the day before the body was found. But after the post-mortem result showed that she couldn't have been speaking to him, that he would have been dead for some time before that, she then changed her story to the story that she hadn't been speaking to him and she hadn't been in the house, but she looked in the window and saw him sitting on the couch or lying on the couch, and she assumed that he was still alive. It's up to everybody to decide on the credibility of that.
What was significant, Barry, in David Jordan's admission?
One of the men named by Jordan as being involved was also named in the anonymous letter to the civil rights movement. This other former UDR soldier subsequently served as a DUP MLA and is now deceased. His name is Oliver Gibson, and asked before his death about the Patsy Kelly case, he strongly denied any involvement and said he didn't even know a David Jordan. Now, police confirmed detectives questioned Mr. Gibson as his car was allegedly stolen on the night Patsy Kelly went missing and found burnt out in Eskra, 10 miles from Trillick. He provided an alibi to police.
Go forward a few years and police claim that Patsy Kelly, the murder file, has gone missing.
Yeah, the then RUC offered no excuse nor any explanation for this. They said they simply lost the file of the high-profile murder of an elected representative. It was missing for several years, but turned up on the eve of a UTV report into the case. Police claimed the papers had been incorrectly filed and indexed at their headquarters. They also discovered papers relating to a 1993 reinvestigation into the case, which the family were never told about.
What happened then?
A PSNI investigation in the early noughties, an inquiry by the Historical Inquiries team up to around 2009. Neither investigation established the full truth of what happened to Patsy Kelly on the 24th of July 1974. It was then on to investigation number 5. That's where we are now. An investigation by the Police Ombudsman of Northern Ireland into police conduct throughout the case. That office told the Kelly family last year how Patsy's killing could be linked to the notorious Glenann Gang. That's a unit of the Ulster Volunteer Force that counted rogue security force personnel among its members and was responsible for over 100 murders in Tyrone and Armagh in the 1970s. Here's Pat Fahey again.
This is what the Ombudsman office told us. We believe there's a link between this Patsy's murder and other killings. In particular, they referred to the murders which had been carried out by a group who became known as the Glenann Gang. They carried out quite a number of killings of Catholics. We were then told that the investigation would be completed by the end of 2018. He has told us now that it won't be completed for, and it's as vague as that, for another 18 months or 2 years.
And given all these delays and flaws from the very start of these 5 investigations, the Kelly family claim that the investigations were, at the very, very least, catastrophically botched, and at the most, allege a cover-up.
Every time there comes a wee glimmer, we think we're going to get somewhere here, we're going to get some kind of answers here, but the answers just keep being prolonged or prolonged all the time. But I think that's the way they want it anyway. They just want time to pass by and the perpetrators disappear. They'll disappear because they'll die off.
Well, you get your hopes built up on all these different things that takes place, and then you just fall down flat, but you have to go on. You have to get up and go. And I would have prayed, but my prayers aren't answered.
Some people listening might say, look, it's a long time ago, why not give it up?
It's something that's still very, very real for us as a family. The fact that my father was abducted and murdered in the way that he was is difficult enough to deal with in itself. But to know that the perpetrators of that were, in our view, servants of the state, and that the cover-up that has been in place from 74 right up to the present day has been engineered and executed by servants of the state. How can you get to a point of complete forgiveness and complete healing?
There's a deep, deep wound, and it never goes away. And until we get truth out of this, that's all we require is truth.
Patsy Kelly's sons, daughter and widow Teresa, ending Barry Lenehan's report. And tomorrow, Barry will bring us fresh evidence on the killing, which wasn't covered in any of the five police investigations. 10 minutes